It's another Friday afternoon, and you are tuned to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow, and sideshow.com for all of the show notes and the back catalogue of episodes and anything else you might need, how to listen, etc., etc. Before we get to today's guest, about 12, 15, 20 plurals, double digits, have been in touch saying, basically, can I get myself together and organise some Sideshow merchandise? The gist of it seems to be that it's kind of your way of helping out and making the future possible, I guess. But then you also get something kind of in return, a bit like last week's episode with Sophie Le Guill and Plant Heritage, where you pay your membership and you get the plants in exchange. Does that kind of make sense? Yeah. And I understand it. And it's a real, to be honest with you, if I never made a t-shirt or never sold a t-shirt, it wouldn't really matter. It's the fact that you've suggested that you would like to help out in some way or other, and me having a full-time job, which is Donegan Landscaping and making gardens and that whole bill paying thing, as much as I love what I do, and therefore that makes the Sideshow a little bit the hobby because it doesn't pay diddly. It's kind of nice to know that you're out there and you're offering. It's a bit like that party that you're always invited to that you never go to. But when they stop sending you invitations, you kind of scratch your head a little bit and kind of go, why didn't they invite me this year? Yeah. So look, here's the thing. I'm not saying no, but what I am saying is I don't know how to make that bit happen as best as possible. And I don't want to do a cheapo t-shirt for like £2 or £3 and sell it for 50. That's not the objective. It's to make it affordable. So maybe somebody out there knows how I best, but I am trying, I genuinely am, but I have to do it in the spare time. If you really, really, really want to do something in the meantime, go to iTunes, find Sideshow, and leave it a rate and review, and that's the best thing you can do for this moment in time, and I'll get around to the money bit then when that time comes. There's a lot on the horizon, and I am trying to, I guess, make next year's journeys all possible, and let's see how that all works out. To today's guest, Mark Francis. What an absolute gentleman, what an absolute legend. And he was in the fresh category in Chelsea Flower Show. And to my eye, what tends to happen is the mainstream media, inverted commas, apologies everybody for generalising on this, but this is in short how it happens. And even in Dublin and Show Garden Land, you kind of walk Main Avenue and you see the, inverted commas, bigger budgeted gardens, or you see those who get gold and you tend to write about them, in brackets, Telegraph. And my wry wit. And then you tend to leave the ones that are a little bit the unknown or the unknown names. And the question and the grapple is always, well, how do you get the attention if you're not known? How do you get the attention if you're not on Main Avenue? How do you get the inverted commas media to cover you if you're not on Main Avenue? You don't have the big budget. You don't have the big PR company. You're doing it on your own and you're busting your behind to get to that level and to get to that stage. And you get there and people kind of just walk past you, or your entire category is a little bit blanked. That's a tough one. But I stumbled across this gentleman and his good lady and his nipper who had built this garden in Chelsea in the fresh category. And the story is just magnificent. It's beautiful. It really, really is. And maybe there's just an element of myself in there. But I guess that credit has to be given, because the reason I stumbled across Mark was because I liked his garden. It then transpires he's an absolute gentleman, and that kind of makes it all that little bit brighter, doesn't it? I think so. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Francis. Enjoy the show. What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? It's another Friday afternoon in Sideshow Land, the Garden Radio podcast to listen to. If you want to get in touch with us, it is at Sideshow on Twitter, sideshow.com for the entire of the back catalogue. And of course, you will find us on Facebook as the Sideshow. In my company today, however, is
Mark. Mark Francis.
Mark, what do you do for a living, for those who are not aware?
For a living, I am a director of a bespoke steelwork company. And we can make anything that somebody draws, in short.
Okay, we bumped into each other at Chelsea Flower Show. Now, when we were there, you had a garden that caught my eye on not once but twice, but literally four or five times, six times occasions. The garden itself was entirely new. It was extremely fresh. You had a couple of things in it that caught my eye, like the selfie seat. And when I say a selfie seat, don't take anything from that to the negative. This is more to the positive, because that seat, and you'll see it, hit us on Sideshow, at Sideshow on Twitter. We'll send you across a photograph of it, or you'll catch it in today's show notes. But if you're listening to it in the future, you know yourself. Describe to me the garden that you had in Chelsea 2016.
Well, it was designed around making the most of our skills. So there's a lot of steelwork in the space, but also an awful lot of planting to complement the steelwork. So nothing looks out of place, everything complements each other. We have a giant 5.5 metre square steel floor, for example, made up of strips and colours of finishes that blend beautifully into planting beds. And as you mentioned, the selfie seat, the back of the selfie seat is block planted with lots of grasses, and to complement that, a 4 metres tall steel tree poking through the middle.
All right, let's go slightly different direction on this one. You are what age?
I am 30.
You are 30 years of age. I met your very lovely wife today. You have a 2-year-old son.
We do.
Okay. How's that going?
He's getting to the point now where you're struggling to catch him when he starts running around. He's a
delightful,
happy little boy, shall we say.
Okay, well, as one of eight kids, I think I still have this tendency to, you know, just watch, where's he gone?
And then
you get one that you, I won't say own, that sounds terrible, like I get into trouble with some institute or other, but no, on a serious note, you start to kind of watch it. But did you find that even that made you turn around as, let's say, a business, as a young gentleman? Did it change you in a slight way?
That was the whole reason behind the business. I was looking for a different career path, especially with little Max coming along. That's what MKM stands for, Mark, Katie, Max. Okay. So we don't need any and co's just yet. but I was looking for a new direction, and I was seeing a lackage of things on the market that I was looking for myself. So I thought, well, why not make it myself? And as I say, just over 2 years later, we have a giant space at Chelsea with people sitting on our selfie seat and so on and so forth. So it couldn't have gone better for us, but yeah, Max was definitely the driving force behind me wanting to get things set up.
One of the things that stood out to me was not in your garden, it was en route to see your garden, and that was the catalyst for our conversation essentially. When I got here, it's then, you know, does that blow me away? Do I like it? Do I want to sit down? Do you get talking to the guy? Do you get talking to the designer? Do you have a nice chat? And we got talking about the Royal Horticultural Society logo embedded steel bench planters that you had made. How many of them did you make for the Royal Horticultural Society?
I was commissioned to make 42 of them.
Okay.
And they were dotted around the flower show. And they'll also be used at Hampton Court and Tatton. And we also made, or were commissioned to make, a giant rose arbor for the Plant of the Year stand as well.
Right, so, okay, right, that kind of changes things slightly. So you've kind of gone in my head, and I don't mean this to be in any way disingenuous to you, but you've kind of gone from, I was going to build a garden, but I was already doing Formula One racing driving over there to an extent.
Yes, it kind of... I think I said yes to too many things at once in hindsight, but everything has paid off beautifully. You know what I mean? If I could turn back time, I may have done things slightly differently. But as I say, it couldn't have gone any better, from having probably one of the most prestigious clients being the RHS themselves, wanting me to make things personally for them, to the response we've had from our own space at Chelsea. Yeah, it's been a lot of hard work, but we got there.
You did indeed. Let's backtrack. Did you study horticulture? Did you grow plants under your bed? Did you do any of that kind of stuff?
I've always been interested in gardening, generally passed down through the family. I was actually a metalsmith in the Royal Electrical Mechanical Engineers. So right. I started life as a young boy steel fabricator, and I wanted a way to cross the two skills, really. Which, as you see when people see pictures of the space we've got, it can complement each other very nicely.
It doesn't
I think. So that's my background. But all things horticultural have always been a passion, passed down through the family. I still remember times when my grandfather taking me around his garden, pointing things out, telling me not to stand on that. Can't stand there. Oh, this is this, and so on and so forth. Very fond memories.
Did you embrace that? Because of, to be fair, as a young child, when a grown adult who obviously loves and has a passion for horticulture starts to show you things, two things happen. Number one, you turn around and go, "Oh God, this is it's like watching clothes down after the news at 12:30. It's the fuzz in the fridge at night time. It things that mildly just go, "Oh God, someone give me a box of sweets here and let me kick a ball off a wall." Or did you turn around and go, you have got to put me up on your knee and literally tell me more, I'm gonna soak this in?
It was the latter, and I think it all came down to the way that he taught me things. He did it in a way that didn't feel like I was being taught, if you know what I mean. It was his passion, and when someone's got a passion for such a thing, you can't help but learn it. If they're that enthusiastic, you're almost hanging on every word, and that's one of my fondest memories.
So then, from the steelwork, where did that come from? Do I call it steelwork? Is that what
I call it? Yes, yeah, it's all made of steel. As I said, the steelwork came from another passion of mine to tinker with things. So I started off in my mum's garage with a borrowed welder and a borrowed grinder with a few little ideas and a few bits of steel. And then that escalated and escalated and escalated very, very quickly. But again, from a young age, I've always wanted to tinker and play around with things. And steel was a material that allowed me to make what I wanted to make.
So I remember when I was younger, insert joke here, says Hugh, but I remember when I was younger taking all my dad's tools apart, trying terribly hard to put them back together again and then failing miserably just to see how they worked. I also remember him going away to France because he was in the wine trade and coming back, and I might have been 6 and my brother might have been 8, and he had got us a soldering iron and a pair of shin pads to share between the two of us. Which is slightly unusual, but that's kind of where we were in the goofing around apartment. But it gives you, at that age, it gives you I guess when you get a little bit older, as you almost instinctively know that will achieve that effect, and that will achieve, because you're not, to clarify this, it's not exactly metal work. I can weld two pieces of metal together. I don't think out of metal that I could build a garden like this. I would need to employ somebody like you to do parts of that for me, even though it might be my vision. Is that a fair way to put it?
That is a fair way to put it. I was, because I've physically made myself every single part of this, and it does seem daunting when you see pictures of it and see how much steel works there. But if you break things down into the simple little pieces, then it's very doable. But I had the same background as you. If it had a screw in it, I'd want to take the screw out and see what was underneath the cap. With varying degrees of success. Nobody was born knowing how to take a radio apart and put it back together again. You've got to keep practicing or someone's got to teach you. Yeah. And there was a lot of practicing, much to my parents' dismay. But it kind of paid off now. And you'll know yourself. Now you know when you take something apart, you have a general inkling of how it works. But even now, 30 years old, if I don't know how something works, I still want to take it apart and find out. So I don't think I've grown out of it.
No.
Just my toys have got a bit bigger.
You were in the fresh category in Chelsea. What is the fresh category for those who are not aware?
Well, in the fresh area, you have the bright, colourful, out there young designs. It's a place that has show gardens, conceptual designs, trade stands, and they all blend into each other, sort of thing, quite seamlessly. And it's arguably one of the most brightly coloured places where people can really express what they want to do and go out there. For example, at the back rear wall, we had a steel wall with over 300 steel tiles on it, individually cut steel tiles. You don't see that down the main avenue.
No, just to cut across you there, some of those individual cut steel tiles are emblazoned with photographs. Some of them I got are from your workshop. There's one of your good lady and your wee nipper up there as well. It's one of those, and myself and Paul Martin were talking about this a while ago, former guest of the show as well, and we were kind of saying that there's always, and I apologise for how I described this, but in gardens this is how it should be when you look at them, that you initially turn around like a lady in a bar, a good looking lady, and you say, God, she is absolutely beautiful. I need to write her a poem. I need to spend time with her. I need to tell her how I... Okay, that sounds maybe a little bit more Romeo and Juliet than I intended, but it is that. And the alternative is you turn around and say, jeepers, if she... And you notice the necklace and you notice the shoes. In yours, you tend to notice the garden and then you start to go through the patterns and then you start to break it down and then you start to go back way through it. For those to clarify this, if you know Paul Martin's garden, Paul's, when you look at it, you immediately look at it, it's seamless, effortless, and appears that way. Mm-hmm. To yours, it's all of those things. But yours is, again, it's in the fresh area. It's too young. Just to clarify that for those listening at home. And it's all of those colours then. Then you start to notice the backdrop. Then it's the photographs. Then it's the planters and the plants. So who designed this garden in your that you now sit in? Did you do this?
It was a collaboration between myself and a friend of ours, Simon, who is from a company called PWP Design. So it was designed, in fact, that we could showcase everything that we could possibly do, but also the longer you stare at things, the more little elements you notice. So as you said, there's the giant steel wall, but that doesn't catch your attention first. The brightly coloured steel floor catches your attention first, and draws your eyes up to the rear, and then on the steel wall, there is photographs, most of them black and white, so they blend into the different types of steel, that are almost a journey of how things are made. To show people that when you're sitting there on a nice shiny bench, for example, somebody's had to make that.
It's not off the shelf, just to differentiate.
Yeah, it's not off the shelf. Somebody has to make it. So somebody has to physically grab hold of that big, dirty piece of steel, lug it around a workshop, cut it, grind it, weld it. There is a story behind everything. And it's just a bit of an insight for people to know that. But it's also a place where we wanted people to interact. So as we mentioned earlier, the giant selfie seat, it's to invite people on to come and sit down. There were selfie sticks there, so people were taking pictures and interacting with the space. And come on for a chat. And, you know, me and Katie are just two normal people from Lancashire. You know what I mean? We like to have a sit and have a chinwag.
Well, you say two normal people from Lancashire. You have now built a garden at Chelsea Flower Show, and that kind of puts you on a far higher level than a lot of people who, I guess, haven't built at Chelsea, myself included.
Well, I agree and disagree. I don't think it's changed me at all. I still like a cup of tea in the morning, do you know what I mean? I don't run around saying, look what I've done, look what... I'm a very humble person. I'm just happy to be here, happy for people to like it. I don't think that'll ever change. I think I'll always have time to speak to people if anybody ever wants any advice or just even a chat about what we do or a chat in general, do you know what I mean? You've always got to spend time to speak to people.
When you look back on this in 10 years' time, when Max is 12... years of age, maybe not 12, but when he's 22, I think there's a point where, as an individual, number one, you tend to look back and say, oh God, I can't believe I did look at my hair when I was 17. I thought it was cool back then, you know, and you realise, God, I was such a moron, and I'm referring to myself there as well. And equally, to the more serious point, there's gardens in there where you turn around and go, I could have done it a little bit X. Do you think... And again, Chelsea, highest platform, pretty much available to a young designer with a garden like this, which, to be to your credit, it's a little bit bold, it's a little bit daring, but you did it right and you did it very, 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 very well. Do you think you'll look back and go, I could have?
I think with hindsight, most things you look back on, you think, I would have done that differently. But if you were designing something and being cautious to think what would it be like in the future, then you're not really living in the moment, do you know what I mean? Mm. So it didn't cross my mind too much of what this would look like in 10 years' time. I just hope that in, let's say, 20 years' time when Max is 22, or even when he's 32, do you know what I mean? He can look back and go, oh, my dad made that. Do you know what I mean? Well, there might be more things coming in the future. As I say, this is our first time here. There's many more years yet. Have you can go bigger and better.
No, you indeed you couldn't have. What was the application process like for Chelsea, for those 30-year-olds at home who have never done this before?
It's quite contested. You generally have to... I've done a few other shows before.
So have you?
We did... We had a, just a normal trade stand at Hampton Court last year and Tatton. Again, dressed up very nicely, but nothing on the scale of this. So you then have to get your design sorted, your planting design sorted, submit all of that. And then if there's any questions or comebacks, you have to say what area you want to be in. And then it's up to the RHS then, really. They'll know what they want to let in, what they're kind of planning. And with the design like ours, it's so bold.
It
could only go in one place. And I imagine this spot that we had is highly contested over. There's a lot of people that would like to have a spot. Mm. But I don't think of it that way. I think, yes, we're here. Yeah, we've done good. And roll on next year.
To put it in context, also in the same category as Mark, is Juliet Sargent, who did the Modern Slavery Garden. So that'll give you a former guest of the show, but it'll also give you a taster of just what kind of is in that kind of fresh mix. If I walk into your workshop, I have a picture in my head of a man with a kind of a welding hat on and sparks kind of flying. I don't know how, but is that the case? Is that the picture? Do you have?
Oh yeah, there's lots of sparks.
Are you greasy hands on a Monday morning?
I don't think I've ever been this clean before in my life. Yes, I am very much hands-on in the workshop. If I come back clean, then I don't feel like I've done a full day's work. It is, as you imagine, a big roller door opens and you see people wearing blue coveralls and sparks flying everywhere and big machines clunking and big racks of steel. Do you know what I mean?
Do people like to come down? And do they like two questions? Do they like to know that you're making their things or you're involved in the making of their things? And number two, do they like to come down and see it being made? Is that the way that goes? Is it that
yes.
bespoke?
Yes. It falls into a few. Some people just want the shiny product, which is absolutely fine. I speak to a lot of customers and clients, and they do like to come down and visit, and I like them to so they can see the effort and the real workmanship has gone into everything that leaves the door. And we have commercial clients who also want to come down and see everything's going on track and things like that. But it's nice to sit down with a client or a visitor and go through ideas. I think the more people you get involved in an idea, rather than me saying, oh, how about we make this, and they just go, yes, 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 we turn it around the other way. They give us some ideas, and then we throw some ideas in, and then Katie will throw some ideas in, and then we'll draw things out, and then we start making things. And that's just the way it goes. It's an open door policy. As long as people be careful not to get sparks and things like that flying around, as long as everyone's safe, anyone can come by and visit.
Excellent stuff. Well, listen, from me, Peter Donegan, it's been an absolute genuine pleasure. Big fan of what you have done, and it's been a real honour and a pleasure to sit in your company. That was Mark of MKM Creations. You will find them. Their website is mkmcreations.co.uk. They are on the Twitter and on the Facebook. Mark, thanks so much for your time.
Thank
real
you
genuine
much.
Pleasure. And that was Mark Francis of MKM Creations. A huge dollop, is that even a right word? Our thanks to Ed Horn and the team at the Royal Horticultural Society for putting us in touch with Mark. Without them, that interview genuinely would not have happened. To Mark and to Katie and the entire family and everybody who was involved in the building of his garden who I met, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for welcoming me into your space and for allowing me the time to sit in your company. I don't know, by the way, who's up on next week's show. I guess you'll just have to see. It's all on iTunes. If you want to get in touch there or leave a rate and review, go do so. At Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow and sideshow.com for any of the links you heard on today's show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. A real genuine pleasure. Take care. Sláinte. Have a great weekend. Bye.